Our good friend Aaron Wilson from the Carroll County Times and National Football Post joins us. And I'll start you off with what I finished off James Walker with, and that was we had Pete Prisco on last hour, and he was talking about potential Hall of Famers. He says Ed Reed's not a lock Hall of Famer yet. You cover Ed Reed. What do you think?
I think he is. I think he's a unique safety. I don't think there have been a lot of safeties that play the game the way he does. You know, you had your hitters like Ronnie Lott. You've had your cover guys, and Ed's both. And, you know, before the neck injury, he was really one of the best blitzers when they used him in that capacity. And, you know, his instincts are really incredible. I was talking with a colleague of mine at National Football Post, Matt Bowen, and Matt played, you know, in the NFL, played safety for a while, and he's broke down some of Ed's tape earlier this summer, and he was talking about how Ed would break on the ball before the quarterbacks even released the football. He was talking about one of those patented interceptions against the Bengals, against Carson Palmer, that he returned for a touchdown a couple of years ago. And I remember that play. And, you know, that's all instincts and film study. Ed's not the biggest or the fastest guy. I think he's really, you know, had a trademark on the way he plays the game. And, you know, there was a tweet last night from Earl Thomas, who's one of the really good young
out of Texas
backs in the league. And Earl said, you know, he was just amazed watching highlight tapes of Ed. And it was late at night, and he was watching tape of Ed. So, you know, there's a good young player, and I think that's a testament to the respect there is for Ed Reed. You know, you won't hear a lot of people knock Ed Reed in the way he plays the game. Does he gamble a little bit? Does he take some chances? Yeah, but he's almost always right.
Aaron, who do the Ravens coaches want to be the right tackle? Cousins, Ja Reed, Ramon Harewood, who do they want to be the guy?
Ideally, they'd like a situation like they had with Michael Orr, where they're able to groom Ja Reed and have a very productive, very competitive rookie starter that's going to hold down that job. You know, O'Neal's had some chances in the past, and you know, he hasn't thrived in pass protection. He's a pretty good run blocker, but he has trouble against the elite rushers like Lamar Woodley. Ramon is a unknown commodity because he's coming off the knee injuries and he played at a small school at Morehouse.
Right.
And I think that Ja is your best candidate. And I got to think that athletically, size-wise, you know, he's probably going to stand out a little bit. You know, it's just a matter of getting up to speed. I mean, he's a rookie, so we know it's just tough. You know, it's very hard to plug in rookies, but we've seen teams, you know, including the Redskins last year, have some success with rookie tackles, and you know, even a few years ago with Jake Long with the Dolphins. So it can happen, and you know, I think the Ravens would like that to happen, ideally, because then you've got your bookends. You've got Michael Orr, you've got Ja Reed, and you know, then you're all set at tackle for years to come. But you know, if he should falter, and I don't think they are going to be, you know, in major trouble with those other guys. I mean, you know, they're competent players. You also have Tony Mall, who is filling
free agent.
In, you know, sort of a
free agent,
mediocre to average basis when he's played in the past. He is a free agent, yes.
Now, what are the coaches saying? What are they telling you, Aaron, about how they're going to improve the run game? What have they done this offseason, you know, strategically or whatever to improve the run game?
One thing that they're looking to do, they want the lead blocker to kind of specialize in that. I think that, you know, the tea leaves are out there that Laron McClain may not return. And if they do bring in another guy, they want it to be a guy that's just really a rugged blocking first.
They want a hammer.
And I think Lawrence Vickers or Vonta Leach would fit the bill. The only thing about Leach is the Texans are going to make it worth his while to come back. I think Cleveland's ready to move on from Vickers, and he can be had at a good price. So, you know, look for the Ravens to get inventive at fullback. You know, right now, Jason McKee, who's under contract, people forget about Jason, he is the starting fullback. And, you know, his agent's been informed of that, you know, when they went to some workouts to look at some of his college guys, that Jason is number one on the depth chart. So, you know, they do have a fallback plan, even if they made no moves. You remember Jason, he was a starter for the Bears and he has pretty good hands. He's not a, you know, bad fullback. So that is a way they can go if they decide, you know what, it's too rich for our blood to bring back Laron, and these other guys want too much money. Let's go with Jason McKee. Let's maybe look at a rookie like a Henry Hanoski out of Pitt. Let's check him out. Maybe bring in another
guy. I liked him. I liked him coming out of the draft. I thought he was a physical guy. I think that would be a great pickup for them as an undrafted guy if they got him.
They've been trying to do that for a couple of years. There was a guy from Boston College, Mike McLaughlin. They tried to convert him from linebacker. Didn't pan out, but he had a groin injury. But they have been looking for a blocking first guy. They want a guy that's just a mauler, and that's the thing they think they need to get this running game cranked up.
And how's the health of everybody? I mean, when I saw, and you saw Foxworth, I don't know if you've seen him recently, but I mean, he was definitely favoring his leg and his grub. If they were to start training camp on time, who is going to be on PUP?
They could possibly be on the PUP list, both those guys. You know, Ben had the bone spurs removed from his ankle, and, you know, Dominique is not yet 12 months removed from a torn ACL. It was a really bad injury. I mean, it was a total blowout. And, you know, he had a great surgery with Dr. James Andrews, and he's working diligently. He's also got, you know, not that he doesn't put in the full time, but he's, you know, he's got some serious duties with the NFLPA on their executive committee. And I didn't get a chance to go to his charity thing yesterday. I was just found out about it kind of at the last minute. But, you know, when I did see him at Towson, just like you observed, yes, he did favor the leg some, and I think he's still working through the scar tissue. I have interviewed Dominique about his knee a few times, and, you know, he has said things like he could play now if, you know, if they had made the Super Bowl. But I think that's just kind of the swagger and confidence of a guy that, you know, he's not afraid. He's willing to go out there. But, you know, I do think that there are some questions about that knee, and I'd be surprised if anyone's exposing him to contact. I know the protocol the Ravens have followed in the past for ACL tears, and if you look at Lardarius Webb a year ago and Fabian Washington, they weren't playing football until weeks into training camp, and they were very careful with those guys. So I'll be surprised if we see Dominique out there. And other guys that could be on the PUP list, well, you know, if they re-signed him, which I don't think they will, Jared Gaither with that back, I don't think he'd be cleared for contact immediately either. And, you know, there are other guys that you don't always know about whether they've had some kind of off-season procedure. You know, we've had, you know, limited exposure to the coaching staff and the players this year. So there might be some other things we don't know about.
Ken Wyman and Vinny Serrato talking with Aaron Wilson, covers the Ravens for the Carroll County Times and the NFL for National Football Post. We still don't have a labor agreement, but the Ravens and Steelers seem to be in midseason form as far as trash talking is concerned. What did you think about Ray Rice and Ryan Clark's back and forth on Twitter about Hines Ward?
I was entertained by it. I'm not one of these people that thinks that just because you talk trash on the internet and, you know, through the media, that that's going to impact the games. I just think it's fun for the fans, and, you know, it adds a little spice to the rivalry. It's already a great rivalry. And, you know, just my opinion, and I've got no stake in this, I didn't think Ray really, you know, needed to take a shot at Hines Ward on this, but I understand, you know, how the Ravens feel about him because he's, you know, taken out some of their guys over the years. So he's very disliked in the locker room. So when he's down, it didn't shock me that they, you know, kicked a little salt in his wounds. And, you know, later, you know, for Ryan Clark to defend his guy, that's fine. And, you know, the thing is for Ray, you know, he's not afraid, oh, these guys are going to load up and, you know, hit me. I mean, Ryan, you remember that hit he had on Willis McGahee? I mean, this part of football, you know, you can't be afraid, oh, I can't say anything because they're going to hit me harder. I mean, that's not how it works. I mean, the fans might think that way, but the players, that's not their mentality. Also, you know, it was interesting to me, you know, that Hines, his agent, came out with this really strong statement after the DUI, and it was all, you know, this and that. It wasn't, you know, legit. This thing's going to be thrown out. Then it comes out he had a .128. That wasn't the official one because he refused to take the official test at the station. He declined. But, you know, it sounds like he was pretty inebriated. He hit a curb, you know. Probably the best thing to do is not to make statements and just go quietly about defending yourself through your attorney.
No, don't piss off the cops.
Yeah, you don't want to annoy those guys. And, you know, this is down south.
Right.
You know, they don't take kindly to that.
Now, Aaron, I read where Ladarius Webb is not going to give up his starting spot easily.
That's what he says. Well, you know, he doesn't have the starting spot. He was, you know, not a starter last year. He was a starter because of injury as a rookie, and then he hurt his knee. So, you know, he predicts he will be the starter. He did a couple of interviews, one with myself and one with Ken Murray from The Sun, and he pretty much said the same things. And as soon as, and I'm assuming from the quotes, I wasn't there when he talked to Ken, but as soon as I brought up Jimmy Smith, you know, he was not in a good mood. And, yeah, he is definitely very fiercely competitive about, you know, staking out his turf, and that's fine. I mean, you know, like I said to him, and like he agreed, if you don't believe in yourself, who's going to? You know, and I don't think this is a, you know, issue where they're not going to get along or there's going to be a problem in the locker room. But, you know, one thing I pointed out to him, you know, they need two cornerbacks, and I can see scenarios where Lardarius Webb, very fast young corner, and Jimmy Smith, you know, an interesting young player, that they could both be on the field at the same time.
Who's on the number one on the depth chart right now? If they were to start camp today, who's the two starting corners?
don't have Chris Carr and Josh Wilson.
And you don't have Foxworth, who's going to be on PUP.
I think we're talking about the two starting corners right
there. Webb and Smith.
Yeah, and you know what? Not a lot of experience there other than, you know, Webb's been around the block a few times. But, you know, these guys are fast, and they've got some good qualities. I mean, they're good starting material. Ideally, you'd like to have a vet in the mix, somebody to kind of be that, you know, guiding force and leader. And Ed Reed might have to, you know, kind of be the coach on the field even more. He's going to have to coach these young guys up. And, you know, he might have a new safety caddy playing next to him and Tom Zivakowski or Haruki Nakamura, because DeJuan Landry's a free agent. So it's a secondary in transition. You've also got your secondary coach moving to defensive coordinator in Chuck Pagano. And you've got a new secondary coach in Terrell Austin, a former Pitt player. So, you know, you've got some changes in the secondary, you know, but sometimes change can be a good thing.
What do you think backup quarterback?
You know, I still think it's going to be Mark Bulger. I don't know that. I think Mark might be one of these guys when the chairs, you know, when the music stops playing, and, you know, musical chairs, I don't know if there's a starting job for him. I was talking with Joe Theismann, and Joe said it's irrelevant, you know, because he says Mark should be a backup no matter where he goes. That's his opinion on Mark. You know, so it was interesting. And, you know, I know that Mark likes being there with the Ravens. He's an East Coast guy, and he gets along very well with Joe Flacco. So, you know, the Ravens, especially with, as we talked about before, with the salary cap floor, you know, they've got to spend a little bit of money, and he's a good insurance policy. So I don't see why they wouldn't maybe go with him again. And I think that
probably a 2-year deal they'd have to do for cap purposes, I would think.
Yeah, that's a great way to do it, because you can, you know, then maybe you're talking about a bonus. You know, that's
right.
Something they didn't do last year. They just had a nice salary form.
Yeah, you got what, $3 million? Well, you know, that isn't bad with no cap. I mean, they can't do that. They can't afford to do that this year because they're going to be tight against the cap. They have cash to spend, but they'll be tight with the cap. So doing a 2-year deal and giving them some type of signing bonus, and it spreads it out over the length
right.
of the deal.
You prorate it. But the other thing, too, about their cap commitments, some of that is in the current accounting had to do with the restricted tenders that they had
right.
signed. And that accounted for several million dollars. I don't have the figures in front of me, but they did give some guys, and some of those guys are going to be on the team, like Jameel McClain. He's going to get, you know, nearly $2 million as a second-round tender guy. So, you know, some guys, I mean, that's a nice affordable inside backer starter that they've got penciled in next to Ray Lewis. So, you know, sometimes you make, you know, some commitments like that, and it's a good thing. It's not, you know, and he's happy about it. He's, like, thrilled, you know, that he's a millionaire football player now.
Hey, Aaron, final thing for you. If Bulger does leave, what are their fallback options at backup quarterback?
You know, it's tough because Kerry Collins is now off the market. You're talking about, you know, kind of a thin market out there. You're looking at, you know, what about Todd Collins? You know, I think, I'm not sure.
He's older than Kerry Collins.
Yeah, he's pretty old. You know, I don't think it's a great market out there for backups. So I think it's going to be tough. It's going to be kind of slim pickings out there for these backups. So, yeah, it is going to be tough for teams to find guys. Bruce Gretkowski, if he ever gets out there, I think that he's a pretty good young backup where, you know, he doesn't mind being a backup and he can step in a pinch and win for you. So he's another guy to keep in mind. But, yeah, I mean, the fallback plan, you know, I don't know if they wouldn't obviously go back to a Troy Smith probably for some chemistry issues, but, you know,
They got a young Troy Smith and Taylor.
Yep, exactly. And Terod, it's funny, I talked to him, I said, can you be a backup? He said, definitely. But,
of course,
you know, there's no way they'd
that.
Go with a rookie.
What did you expect him to say? No, I can't?
Right. It's a dumb question on my part, but you know what? I like the confidence from Terod.
Right.
Ken Wyman, Vinny Serrato, talking with Aaron Wilson from the Carroll County Times and National Football Post. Also, you can find him on the Twitter @RavensInsider. Aaron, as always, appreciate your time.
Great stuff,
right,
Aaron.
Guys.
Thanks.
Good talking with you.